Blog Talk Radio.
Shy one horse. You brought too many.
show number 1,425. Welcome. You ready to sit down and get down with the brethren and sisters for 2+ hours of good food for thought, courtesy of your loving mad scientist here, and Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Some Leon Thomas for you. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Sisters as well, gathering hither and yon. Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. Yeah, ask him about what happened last week. the Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Charles Jones in Philadelphia, Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit, Michael Robeson in Oakland, California. Our man, Pat Freeman, the mighty Obad, doing as Obad do in Western New York. Still pumping out that great book, Art of the Interview, book one. You can find it on Amazon. It is a great read. I have enjoyed it and still are enjoying it. It's my bedroom book. And, of course, everybody else will be checking in from time to time as we carry on. Now, we are at that point where somebody's lighting up a torch somewhere, and it's not a doobie, but they're taking it to Japan where the Olympic torch will be lit. Now, there's a lot of other reasons to get lit, but this one in particular works me because I don't know if this Olympics will be marked by who's participating in it as opposed to who's not participating in it. And with me, my main man, T-Mac, is in the house to go over some things that maybe folks don't want to talk about. The preface this morning has worked for Nielsen, which has done gauging on who is watching what and all that good stuff. And T-Mac, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear? Can you hear me? Okay. I don't want to be too loud.
Yeah. No. You're good.
Now, okay, great.
I know we were going over this somewhat on Tuesday, but anticipating the world in your back door, at least via the TV set, is a big undertaking. You know, we always talk about the money, but can you give us a fair gauge as to really just how much money what each household represents?
Well, with the back in the, you know, Nielsen, you know, I'm sure everybody's familiar with the Nielsen Media Research. They, of course, they do the ratings. They have the, sure you've heard of Nielsen families and the Nielsen boxes and everything.
Uh-huh.
Now, the thing with Nielsen, traditionally, they have always tapped into network television, i.e. ABC, CBS, NBC, yes. Fox, you know, mm-hmm. the major four. And also, you know, now that we have these other networks, you know, like the CW, the My Network, so on and so forth. Now, with cable, it's a little different because, and also the one thing that skews a lot of stuff now is streaming.
Okay.
Streaming is not something that can... It can be, you can get a gauge, but it's different because, see, streaming, there's a lot of factors involved. It's, you know, IP, you know, you got, every, you know, of course, everybody who has a computer or has been online or is consistently online, everybody has an individual IP address. And,
right.
you know, that's recorded, you know, throughout the World Wide Web. Now, it can still be detected, but it's not. But the numbers usually don't come through until a little bit later down the road. You know, well afterwards. And see, here's the thing: as we've been saying, the NBC network, and I'm talking about all their now NBC's entities, of course, you know, the network NBC. But you
right.
also have NBC Sports Network, MSNBC, CNBC, USA Network. Also, they have their own version Disney Plus and Amazon Prime, which is Peacock, and all of those entities will have the Olympics on them. Now, here's the other kicker that people have to understand. There is a 15-hour time difference between Tokyo and the East Coast of the United States. And you know,
is that forward or backwards, T?
Forward.
Okay,
forward.
Thanks, G.
Forward. Yeah, thank you, Gary. And again, to be fair, I can already hear the folks in the peanut gallery. West Coast bias. West Coast bias. hey, I don't make the rules. I just follow what they say. And in their eyes, a lot of times they are, you know, they're, please wait. Prime time. Monday, Wednesday, you know, Monday through Friday is 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Now, NBC is going to be doing the NBC, because I have to qualify here, because you got a gazillion networks that are covering this thing, and we're not even talking about the CBC as well, who cover the Olympics. I'm just trying to keep it in the American thing here. The live the NBC network that has, you know, that does, you know, that does NFL football and the Wimbledon and so on and so forth. Now, NBC has put their stuff on all their, you know, all their different networks over the years. That's nothing new. With this, you're talking about a worldwide stage. Now, I believe, and Gary, you may be able to help me out here, I don't know what the main network is in Tokyo. I want to say it's like a TV one or a TV
like
two.
TV channel?
They're going to be doing the Olympics as well. So there's going to be an American, you know, there's going to be basically.
And Tony, they got an English version.
And a native
version.
Language version. Exactly. Now, so basically, there are two major networks. I guess you could say, basically three or four if you count the CBC.
Okay.
And remember, with the Olympics, this is the Olympics. So there's going to be other countries that are going to pipe it in. So now, again, let's just stay stateside here in the United States. NBC, when they've had the Olympics before, they always, you know, their whole thing is they're going to promise you X amount of hours on prime time, overtime, in time, and what have you. Now, what they do, what they've done over the last few years when they've had the Olympics, in their mind's eyes, prime time for them is 8 to midnight Eastern. They want to steal that extra hour. And also on Sunday, they'll call 7 to 11 their prime time.
Exactly.
So,
right.
Now, here's the thing. The elephant, you know, the elephant, or should I say elephants in the room, is the 15-hour time difference. So.
No, what they're gonna do tomorrow's game today.
Oh, there's actually, if you turn to NBC Sports Network right now, they actually have a women's softball game on.
So this is like old school tape delay.
Yeah. Oh no, this is live.
Okay.
This one's live. Now they had a game last night on at 11 o'clock. I think it was U.S. women versus Italy. And they also, earlier this week, they had the women's soccer team the U.S. women's soccer team against Sweden. And oh, by the way, the women are still licking their chops off of that 3-0 ass from them from I think it was like late Tuesday or what have you. But see, here's the thing. So basically, the Olympics has already begun. It's already begun. You know, so it's a see. Now,
the other half of the room, is this. The IOC has the ability to cancel the game before Friday.
Really?
No. Yes, it's literally
About Friday noon, Tokyo time.
If more athletes test positive and they find out what else is going on with Mount Fukushima, I believe it is that you mentioned, guys.
Fukushima. Yeah.
So
they had a basketball game in Fukushima City yesterday.
So the Olympics has already started. The competition has already started. Now Friday night. Or I guess Saturday morning in Tokyo. I don't know. Let's put it this way. NBC is slated to come on at, I believe, 7:30 Eastern time for the opening ceremonies.
Okay.
Now, from my lips to God's ear, that's probably not going to be live. Unless folks are going to get up around 4 in the morning in Tokyo to
the Beijing Games.
Mm-hmm.
The Beijing Games received the hours delay, too.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
everything was a day late on American TV. Was a day late.
Yes.
Okay.
So, basically, if you want to watch this live, you best have cable because if you're one of the few folks that still don't have cable or IPTV or what have you, you're not going to get stuff live because on the West Coast,
it's a 3-hour difference, so you're talking about 3 a.m. in the morning. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. So unless you've got one of those cable channels that I talked about that's basically part of NBC's cable family.
Yeah.
And again, unless you're willing to lose, you know, a couple hours of sleep, so you can watch the badminton play-ins or the or the equestrian, you know, trials. You're not going to see much live. I mean, now are they going to try to put some stuff on prime time? Sure. Put it this way, they're going to probably try to do the gymnastics. They're going to probably try to do the hoops. They're probably going to try to do the track. Yeah. You know, all the. Dare I say, not so much traditional, but like, you know, all the more popular. Because see, as we were saying on Saturday and in the other shows, the Olympics is a different animal compared to, say, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, and, you know, the big four, so to speak, because you are going to get a large amount of non-traditional
sports fans.
You're going to get the folks that just want to watch the gymnastics. You're going to get the folks that just want to watch the swimming. You're going to get the folks that just want to watch the track. You're going to get the 12 guys that want to watch equestrian. You know, it might be up to 14 now. I don't know. It depends.
Michael and Tony, can you explain I am totally confused.
Don't feel bad. So are the people that paid the $150 gazillion for the next 4 years.
All right,
Well, no, because COVID-19 all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yep, hasn't stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baseball is having people in the stands.
Oh, I thought they were doing no stands, and now they've changed up already?
Baseball's got people in the stands.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, you know.
It's like, what are you doing?
Gary? Mm-hmm. You were right before. Gary was right before because Gary said, all right, somebody dies from COVID, this is all fucked up and everything changes.
Yep.
Now, they've been playing Russian roulette with all of the sports. You know, the NFL gambled, and literally gambled, their $10 billion contract that they would make good on it. And they did. Now, NBC has three more Olympics with a nut of $10 billion to cover. So they got to make at least $2.5 billion on this bad boy. And
they'll make the money this year because of the different companies' sponsors. They'll make the money this year.
Well, see, they're going to see. That's, you know, they'll make – put this way, and I was telling this to Mike when we were show prepping. Throw out the whole idea you thought about the Olympics back in the day with when ABC had it. I'll just use that as a gauge because I think everybody, you know, that, you know, the days of those kind of ratings and that kind of viewership or whatever, that's kind of dead because right now – 80%, I want to say 75% of these games are being shown on cable. Now, I think everybody here remembers when they did it was called back then the Triple Cast.
Yep.
And it was basically, it was a poor man's version of pay-per-view, basically.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you wanted to watch, you know, now, they didn't break it down into sports or whatever. What they basically did was it was by days. If you wanted to watch, from 8 a.m., if you wanted to watch, say, from 8 a.m. to noon, that's a certain price. If you wanted to watch from noon to 4, that's a certain price. 4 to 8, 8 to noon, and so on and so on and so on. And they will also put stuff on the network. But see, here's the thing. Even Lillehammer. Now, I was working at the Mouse during the Lillehammer Olympics, and that was an 8-hour difference. Now, 8 hours isn't too bad. It's still not good. But
on the East Coast,
I will pre-cook my apologies to all our West Coast listeners because unfortunately, they don't give a you know what about the West Coast. It's all about Eastern time zone and all. Now they make it. Now the thing I remember about the Lillehammer games was that it seemed like all the major hockey games were starting at 11:30 at night.
I mean,
that worked like a charm for y'all down there because 8 o'clock. Hey, I can do eight. I can do eight. As one person on the briefing board said, 8 specific time. But the fact that 8 hours as compared to 15. Again, pretty much everything you watch on NBC, the network, is going to be taped. It's going to be taped. Now you'll get some. Now, like I said, the game that's on NBC Sports Network right now is a softball game between USA and Canada, and there are
Canada's very good softball.
There are 12 people at this game, basically, and you know it's isolated, which is surprising that they would, you know, that they're going to try to open this up a little bit for the baseball. But see, again, it just shows you their greediness and also they're sort of making this up as they go along because again we were told, I think a month ago, no one in the stands, no one, there's no one ever. But now, all of a sudden, now they want to open it up for baseball, which is kind of weird because, I mean, I know baseball. I mean, baseball's not even the most popular sport in this game.
Why are you doing for track?
And again, Gary, neither do they, because they are literally making. Because see, here's the thing: they are going to see in their mind's eyes. We got effed out of a Olympic last year because of the pandemic. I'll be goddamned if I get messed up for a second year and what have you. But see, here's the thing: you still don't control this. To steal an old wrestling phrase, COVID's running wild, baby.
Yeah, buddy.
So it's the damnedest thing, because you know you've got so many. There is so much outside stuff going against what they're trying to do. And now you can already probably hear them saying, oh, it's a triumph that they're playing. No, it isn't.
That's exactly what they're going to say. You said a long time ago, there's a payroll that must be met here. That's exactly what they're going to say.
Hey, you've got to add that S at the end.
That's right.
You've got to add that S. Because they come hell or high water, they're gonna get something out of this. And if a few athletes die or test positive, they're gonna look at that as collateral damage.
Collateral damage, yes.
87.
Come on back in. Go ahead, Gary, I'm sorry.
87 athletes have been positive already.
87?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, that's the challenge, because they can say what they want. The bottom line is NBC wants to make money. And they've got to clear 2.5 million in 2 weeks in order to justify having the Olympic Games run this year.
But Mike, to be fair, and we know, know NBC is the big bully, is one of several big bullies here.
Yes.
Don't let the Tokyo government off easy here either, because they want. Matter of fact, I would almost be willing to say I'm more worried about. I'm more worried about the Tokyo government than I am NBC. I mean, NBC.
NBC is,
let's put it this way. They are kissing cousins here, because
this is true.
They want to make up the money from losses and what have you. Yeah. And so does the government. So this incestuous relationship between the two is basically what's running this thing. That's what this
is. You have an armed camp in Tokyo. Tokyo right now is armed off. You can't go anywhere near the Olympic Village.
So it's business as usual in Tokyo.
No shit. Wait a minute. Gary, well, hold up a second, because right now the original premise that's been put out is correct. The government is more dangerous than anything else, because we know what happened at Fukushima, and this was before COVID.
Yep.
Shit was compromised. Nobody really made a fuss about it because, well, first of all, it didn't happen where they were. And they trusted that Japan would take care of its own business. But I'm telling you right now, even Godzilla wouldn't want to be in Japan right now, because they know how fucked up the environment is.
Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Why would you play games in Fukushima City, which is what they're doing this week? Are you crazy?
Wow.
Just a mind?
All, you are running for the hills. Rodan, Mothra, Deidre, any motherfucker, they're out of here.
Yeah, even probably one of Joan Rivers' old chins is probably trying to get the hell out of Dodge right now, too.
Exactly. Look, Son of Godzilla can't even blow smoke in his
shit.
Hey,
if she's a rose by the end of this week, she'd be lucky.
Yeah, you're right about that shit. But in all honesty, the money is really the issue. NBC is willing to sacrifice American lives for ratings.
No, world lives. I'm American world lives.
We're not watching The Running Man, but we're close to it. Only now it's made a sport. You know, I don't care. Somebody's health will come first before any other variable here. And the bids were made for these games years in advance, so, of course, we can't even speculate on all of that. But we can say is if an environment is dangerous to perform in, don't go or cancel it or move it. Something, you know, all right, Tokyo, it's not your turn in the barrel yet. We'll switch 4 years later, blah, 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 whatever the deal is. But you give them a year to get started, so whatever the places that you're going to move it to has the proper facilities there where you can give off a good show. Kind of like what happened when, you know, Arizona didn't make the
cut.
Remember
1980.
Yes.
The United States told Russia we would not be going to Summer Games. Right?
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Russia retaliated.
And didn't come in 84.
That's
now
right.
4 years later, right?
Right.
That means those 8 years, the world did not really get together. And guess what, Mr. Moneybags and TNT Turn Network will have a Commonwealth game.
No, it was actually worse, Gary. He made his own. Remember the Goodwill games?
Yeah, Goodwill games.
I mean, you know, this was not now. See, now mind you, the Braves, I guess, had, you know, in 1980, the Braves were 2 years removed from being relevant, but they were, you know. Again, there were test patterns that probably got higher ratings than Braves games. Probably old episodes of Sanford and Son and the Beverly Hills got Beverly Hillbillies got more ratings than the Braves did, say, in 80 and 81. And remember, 81 was a strike year. Now by 84, the Braves were whatever. And you know, this was during the time when, again, he put together the Goodwill games, and they you know, it was all propaganda and all that stuff, because again it was because his whole thing was he was going to try to make it so that the U.S. and Russia would get together, and no, that didn't happen. Surprise. But this is, you know, the funny thing with this, it's not really funny, I guess, but This is going to be a daily sort of thing. Now, luckily they showed a clock. Now, it's 9:30. Yeah. It's 9:30 Eastern time here. It's actually 10:30.
Yeah,
6:30. Don't confuse them, Gary, because there's folks already confused as it is. But right now it is 10, basically. Okay, it's 9:30. Five in the east. It's 10:35 in Tokyo.
Okay.
10:30 in the morning over there.
This game started at 8 a.m.
Well, mercy will not withstand.
Mike, to coin a phrase, what in the bologna sandwich is going on here?
Indeed. You know, because bologna is, well, I like bologna, especially fried. But we have refreshing in the mix as well. And, Professor, I don't know what buzz has been coming out of North Kakalaki, But I am sure that there is great anticipation for the possibility of the women's track team to do well because of the Aggie influence. Firstly, good evening. And can you add to that, Dad?
Good evening. I'm not quite sure what you're talking about, but it's something, and I heard you mention women's track. So, yeah, we expect women's track to be good anyway.
Right.
And to our credit, we have another young lady that is from here, from one of the newer high schools in the area. Because Cox came from Pine Forest, which precedes my starting school, although they're in a new facility. And Davis, and Cox went to North Carolina. Davis went to Terry Stafford, which had just integrated when I moved here. And she went to University of South Carolina. The other one went to University of North Carolina. And then Q went to Grays Creek High School, and then on to that big overcoming university or college called Livingston College. And we're pulling for her for a number of reasons. She's a good kid and all that other stuff. But she was barely recruited out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had a couple of conversations with her coach, and he basically took over from somebody else as she was coming in, and he just, he needed numbers. He sort of looked out for a helper, but she proved to be pretty good because she won over half a dozen national championships over 4 years at a Division II level, 100, 200, and quarter mile. But, we're looking for good things to happen. And see, the difference between the average place and here, we don't really get bogged down on this timing thing because, we're a military town. We can flip the clock in the calendar and think nothing of it. That's just how things go. In the military, they have this thing, this reverse time, something or other they call it. Anyway, you get up at 6 p.m. and you go to bed at 6 a.m. kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's not the big deal you Yankees like to make of it because, you just got to – 3 days, you should be acclimated. I do it all the time.
Mm.
I had to get on my nephew. Well, I guess he's still my nephew. He goes in, he works second shift. He goes in for gets off at 2:30.
Yeah.
And he was whining and complaining about that. But hey, you got three boys to feed, not to mention you. So the mental aspect of it is far worse than the physical. You can teach your body to do anything you wanted it to.
But in speaking of the medal, as in M-E-D-A-L aspects of this Olympic Games, we know that the U.S. will be disappointed if we don't take home but so much gold. There are expectations that are always in the mix, and I think in this atmosphere of negative journalism, there's potential for more damage if what is perceived does not happen. So if the sister gals don't come through or the brothers don't come through, they're going to trash them like so much used toilet paper.
Well, that may be, but again, it sounds like, as I like to say, it sounds like we have to learn how to tell our own story anyway. Because, in case you all did not notice, other than what I put up in Stephen Gaither and a couple other people put up, everybody act like this, these people just came out of the closet here.
Yeah.
And hey, we got black folks in the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you listen to the mass media, and I won't call it the four-letter word, ESPN. They have been notorious as usual. They're notorious as usual. Nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. There was nothing before we got here. The typical white mentality. Columbus discovered America. He was met on the beach by natives. As if the natives didn't know where the heck they were.
Exactly.
He was the one 10,000 miles from where he was supposed to be. But he's discovering stuff. So, you know, we have to be careful of that. And then we got to put our own narrative out there.
True.
And see, one, you know, I got some pushback from someone because how did you put Wyoming Tyus and say she won and she didn't win more than Rudo. So you probably don't know what really happened then, if that's what you got to say, because she was the first to, Tyus was the first person to repeat as champion in 100 meters.
Right.
Well, didn't Wilma Rudolph win? No.
Hello.
No, she did not.
Hmm.
You know, remember, officially, in '56, she was not a Tiger Belle. She was running in the summer program at Tennessee State. She didn't start school for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And in between those times, she had a child.
Mm-hmm. Well, can we look at it this way? Tony, the quote public enemy, is this fear of a black athlete? Because we've seen the swimmers go up against it. We've seen track people go up against it. And we don't get the impression that Uncle Sam really gives a fuck about what's going to happen to these black athletes going over to Japan.
Oh no, they never have. I mean, you know,
true.
All you got to do is look at it, historically,
mm-hmm.
whether it be
you
know Jesse Owens back in the day. Hey, remember, this is the same country that you know that stripped Jim Thorpe because he dared to make a couple of bucks playing baseball.
Yep.
But
that was NCAA the worst.
Sure.
Baseball was not an Olympic sport.
Well, it didn't matter. In their mind's eye,
they dared to make
a couple of bucks.
It was supposed to be a pure, unadulterated, starving amateur.
But
there was this sister who was somewhere in the West Coast. When she came back from the Olympics, I want to say in either 64 or 68, when she came back from the Olympics, her property, what was left of it, was out on the sidewalk
mm-hmm.
of her apartment. And she had gone and represented the United States. I remember she didn't win a gold medal, but she got a medal or something.
Yeah, she brought a bronze. I know you're talking about, like, for the life of me, I can't think of her name either. I think she was a track star, if I remember correctly.
She was a thrower. I don't know if it was a discus or the shot, but she mm-hmm. was a thrower. And she came back to the new United States of America, land of the free, home of the brave, and all the other stuff. And here she was out, you know, as my uncle used to say, boy, that's ass out. Well, she was ass out because she was a sports hero on one hand. But, you know, based on the rules and regulations of those days, we couldn't take up a collection for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
That's how asinine it was.
Breaking news. The Oakland City, the city of Oakland.
Uh-oh.
A new proposal for the Oakland A's. They is at our terminal ballpark.
What's the new proposal?
We want the team to pay $56 million for the infrastructure. This is going to go over like a lead balloon. Okay, told them we're not paying for anything.
Bright light city, just to set my soul, just to set my
no
soul.
No kidding.
I think that, okay, now I'm going to Las Vegas. Become bigger and bigger now.
Yeah, yeah, they're just basically giving them an offer that they know that they're going to turn down. So then they
yep.
can say, hey, we tried to keep them here, but they didn't want to do this.
They call it saving space.
$1 million for infrastructure. And they've been going back and forth.
So infrastructure
numbers for that 2 to 3 weeks.
So infrastructure means that they're not trying to build a new ballpark for them.
Right.
No,
they're
refurbishing.
No,
new ballpark.
They're
yeah. refurbishing. When you build a ballpark, you have what they call maintenance updates.
That's what the money's
for.
Maintenance and upkeep. They got to change the whole scope of that field. They got to cut the foul lines down because you can run almost to the outfield with the foul line length that they have there. And with the other adjustments, we think it's a lot of money, but it really ain't. Think about the cost of some of the stadium that's been put up over the last few years.
I said this 3 weeks ago, I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Blow it up.
Just make sure that the A's aren't playing in there when you blow it up. Have the human decency not to do it during the seventh inning stretch.
Mm-hmm.
If the A's move out, it's almost a done deal now.
Well, gentlemen, on that note, I would like to take the conversation to a different direction because this just in. Bryce Young is a young man who will be starting for the University of Alabama later on this year. Now, Nick Saban,
You were right the first time, Michael. Keep going.
I stand corrected. Have been screaming along the lines of people like Dabo Swinney, who would say, how dare these people, to quote Reggie, get paid and get taken care of because of name, image, and likeness rights being lifted.
Yes.
This kid Young is supposed to be the expected starter for the University of Alabama, and because of it, he's going to sign a deal that's going to make him over $1 million before he goes hut, hut, hut. Now, apparently, it says Young will have the same kind of incentive heading his way. Now, I don't know about all of that, but I do know getting the kids paid has been a long time coming. So we've skirted over issues of how an HBCU is going to compete with this. But the bigger question now is, the gloves are off, y'all. The five families are going to knuckle up, and they're going to get what talent they can. And it ain't going to be about shoeboxes anymore. It's going to be about skyboxes. Forget about the shoeboxes of cash and all the other stuff. No, there's some serious opportunity.
And also, Mike, let's be honest, he's not going to get $1 million. I think I think what's also going on here, and again, we all know that now everything is just above board, you know, whatever. But see, now you're going to get these sort of outlandish stuff because look, we know there's still the haves and the have-nots. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys heard this. I guess Texas and Oklahoma
I was saving
made
it. Yes.
Over, well, yeah, well, they made overture making, apparently behind the scenes, they were making overtures to join the SEC. So, you know, that which is, I guess, no surprise. You know, just the greedy gets greedier. But in the end of the day, what they're going to try to do now is, you know, this kid's making this and this kid's making that and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna be more of a propaganda thing. And at some point, you're going to say, how are these programs going to survive the way they always have?
No shit.
The way they always have.
They will survive based on the fact that they have, on average, 75,000 idiots every Saturday. If they play sleep or dark of night, whichever occurs, and whatever combination occurs, they're going to have uncles who are going to still pay money to players. Under, well, now over the table instead of under. They will not use two boxes. They will use buckets. They're still going to have all the things in place, and because parents are not doing their due diligence, as they well should, they will fall into a trap like has been set for players in the ACC because they have formed an instrument that will help the players by as giving oversight to any deal before they signed it, so they will know ahead of time if it's dangerous or not to take that deal, because if they take the wrong kind of deal, they immediately become ineligible. Well, this is from his lips to my ears via the television today. They had as part of the media day, that was a big theme. Was it was unlike the SWAC, who's worried about a goofball walking out because they called him Dion. The F or RF, whatever it is, F Troop, whatever it is they call it, they were discussing this heavily in the ACC, and so the ACC has put together this whole package of things as a safety net for players before they get in a deal that can be illegal and get them ruled ineligible, which will take away their earning power.
Mm-hmm.
And that came from His Majesty Mac Brown, whose wife was given $5 million to buy a house in Texas a few years back.
Come on.
That apparently he has sold for considerably more than for considerably more than what he paid for it in a neighborhood that, you know, the people who stay there, you can't stay in that environment unless you are at least a OC or DC for a major institution from the Austin area.
Most definitely. But Fred, let's take on the first part of what you just said. And what Tony said, Texas, next to Notre Dame, largest network there is in terms of independence, and Oklahoma want in to the SEC. So I think that would make 16 teams if they accept them both. And we know the championship. Okay, so now that means the championship, mythical as it is, would be 12 teams in the mix. Now we know the Big 10 or Big 12, whatever the fuck they want to call themselves, they didn't have a lot of say in this. The SEC has been the SEC Invitational for the most part. But if these two bad boys get in, that's going to put a humongous amount of pressure on the conference itself and everybody else talking out of the side of their mouth, because they know there's no way they can say that this is in the spirit of fairness. This is naked cash grab 101. And may I say naked? Well, yes, but they're cashing and grabbing at the same time.
Pretty much.
It makes as much sense as having the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference,
mm-hmm.
having Notre Dame, which is,
everybody,
his two first cousins have been complaining about travel. The districts you have to travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the closest school in the ACC to one Notre Dame?
Let me see. Carry the two. Apparently, the closest school would be Northern Illinois. If you're going by logistics. But
put it this way.
It makes as much sense as the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC East.
That's right, and they were.
Well, is not that the Dallas Cowgirls still in the NFC East?
Along
with Douglas Bird and the East Eagles.
And the reason why the Dallas Cowboys are in the East, and the same reason why the Miami Dolphins are in the AFC East.
Ooh.
Miami Dolphins should be in the AFC South.
Yes.
The Baltimore Ravens should be in the AFC East.
Are they in the division?
What are you doing?
We all know that end of the day, they weren't going to break up the Cowboys and the Washington football team. So that's basically why they had the East.
Exactly.
I still not sure the whole Miami thing, because Miami has basically been in the AFC East from day one. So that hasn't made sense. And also, when they made the merger, Roselle had to basically talk sweet nothings into the ears of the Roselle had to talk sweet nothings into the ears of the Rooney family to go join the AFC. Their only stipulation was, we're taking Cleveland with us too.
Baltimore
Ravens.
Let's be honest. Basically, the Baltimore Ravens are the original Cleveland Browns.
Why do you think there's such a rival? We get to be Cleveland's ass four times a year instead of two. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they did eliminate them from the playoffs last year, but let's not get that out of the way.
That's just a fact.
Sorry. Don't let sound. I'm trying not to let fact get in the way of a great story.
We all know
Christopher Columbus made the division alignment for the NFL. We know that.
Yeah.
He's basically the reason why we have all of that. I tend to think it's worse with the colleges because, as Fred mentioned with Notre Dame, it's a money grab.
I find it
I find it interesting that no one's batting an eye over Texas and the Sooners wanting to join
That's the
SEC. But let these kids make a couple of bucks. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, it's ridiculous. But see, to me, it's distraction because they want to, you know, they want to mess with these kids, and nobody's cashed the check yet.
Look, even the story, which is from the Washington Post, says that Satan noted that Young is in something of a special spot given the position he plays and where he plays it. However, the 69-year-old coach did sound a note of incredulity about how quickly Young has been able to cash in. Speaking at the Texas High School Coaches Association, note that, annual convention via 24/7 Sports, Satan said, quote, our quarterback has already approached ungodly numbers. I'm not going to say what they are. He hasn't even played yet. He hasn't been a starter. It's almost seven figures. And it's like, the guy hasn't even played yet. That's because of our program. Don't think they don't know that shit. That's exactly
Mike, I'm going to call Satan a liar because I think he's making these outlandish things to sabotage the little bit of money that these kids could possibly
make. Yes.
Because
are we talking about the highest paid college quote? Actually,
thank you. Yep. I mean, Hello, pot. This is kettle. Are you wearing pants right now?
Yes, Jake from State Farm.
really.
This is the hypocrisy
of
this.
Yes, it is. See, now they're literally going to try to shame these kids right now.
Oh, you know they are. And of course, the media will get on as well. Anybody who's friendly to a program, we've seen this in the NFL, they'll do the same thing. If you're friendly to the program, they may jump on Young's ass if he throws the game-winning interception for the other team even more harshly than they would under any circumstances. Remember, State ain't supposed to lose during the regular season. And if he does lose, it's by an act of God or some other odd situation. And that's not supposed to happen.
And see, the whole caveat will be, let's say they lose one game during the regular season. Well, a one-loss Alabama is better than 78 undefeated teams. It's like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Penguins and practically chickens. Fuck that noise. That's just double talk. And we know that the five families will come to that. They will do that because there's too much money at stake. If you're talking about 12 spots and five families trying to get in.
12 spots, Michael. 12 spots.
Yep.
Five will be SED guaranteed.
That's right. Potentially five of them
will be SED teams, especially if Texas and Oklahoma goes into
Oklahoma join. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also now we got to weigh the magnitude of a loss. All right. So, you know, early on, there have been teams that have been able to recover from a loss, be it upset or what have you, in that first few two or three games. However, if a team is 9-0, 10-0, whatever, they lose that first game before the ratings come in.
They're done.
It'll depend on who's sleeping with who and who can provide the best spin as the excuse for the loss. That will matter as to who ends up on that leaderboard in the proper position. If we're talking 12 teams getting in, then maybe that means two at large. But, Gary and the professor are right. You're talking five from the SEC, maybe at least two from the ACC, maybe one from the Pac-12, cut two from the Big Ten.
Well, so put it this way. They're going to go to the fight and contrary to popular belief, the Pac-12 is part of the five families. They may, you know, but see again, but they're still part of it though. They're still part of it. They'll put it this way. If it should come down to say Oregon or Central Florida,
yes.
Do I even have to answer
Central
that question?
Florida can suck it up.
Yeah. Be prepared to go to the St. Petersburg Bowl, fellas.
Exactly, because the Ducks will quack their way on in. We got Reggie in the mix. Reggie, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, can you hear me?
Yes.
What's up, Reg?
Hey, Reg.
You know, I'm just going to say it's really sad that you got fucking governors of these states that are doing what they can to keep people from vaccinating. But yet the five families get together and say, fuck this. Either you sons of bitches get together or you forfeiting some big money. And then I look at the HBCUs and I have to ask the question, a lot of those schools are down in southern states where they got the Trumpites up there, the Battle of Water Clan conservatives, and we
That's
are the ones
true.
That are getting hurt. Our
yep.
black institutions are getting hurt because, number one, federal funds from not coming down to the area like they should. Number two, when you see the vaccination, like in Tennessee, they fired the health guy in charge of health department. Why? Because he tried to dock. No. Now, Tennessee and having Alabama and Mississippi, you know it's hurting our HBCUs again. And that's why I keep driving home. A lot of people that are supposed to be looking out for us that look like us ain't necessarily looking out for us, if I'm making any sense.
Oh, no. And unfortunately, this was happening even before COVID. That's the sad part, is that now COVID has now become the ultimate political football.
Environmental excuse.
Look, I will say this. If we are going to make any sense of this, then we need to understand that those couple of paragraphs that Saban made were tantamount to the ultimate recruiting video. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's telling everybody that this one kid, before he's picked up a ball, before he's called an audible, before he's thrown a slant pattern, he's already making about seven figures. Now, we know everybody ain't going to get that kind of money, but the fact that he with that, that's the rub. So now everybody's going to be looking to see if that letter comes from Alabama instead of somewhere else and not be satisfied with just getting the scholarship. They're going to want more. They deserve more, but we see where this is at. Because
well,
he wants to play quarterback, the difference.
And see, he's playing both sides here because as we said, he's gonna get his seven figures whether a game is played or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's gonna get a top flight player just because it's the University of Tuscaloosa at Alabama.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But.
And don't you forget it, buddy.
Yeah, but see, he's also trying to make it so that nobody else can. Because see, there was an old line from the old Tank McNamara comic strip, and they had a stereotypical SEC, or big college coach, and he said, and basically his whole attitude was, yeah, I got a whole bunch of scholarships and I got a bunch of players. But see, the main thing is I got them, but most importantly, my opponents and my other people in the conference don't have them. I'd rather take them and hide them on this record. Because remember, everybody forgets how he fought like a banshee when certain players would transfer. And his whole,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to another SEC school to come back and beat me.
Exactly. That factor still exists. And regardless of when the money comes, the five families are still going to have an amazing advantage because they know they can literally look in the eyes of the five families, especially a school like Texas, and say, we know what y'all did with Pony Excess. We know y'all got the money. So don't pretend like y'all don't. Cut that check, damn it, and make sure that the agreement for NIL is in effect. And they will do that. For the right guy, they will do that, and they won't care. Look, you think about how much money college football made on the off year, like last year. Even in spite of that, they expect the same kind of revenue streams in effect that the NFL did. And if they get that kind of money, we're talking scary cash.
They lost 10% of their revenue last year. But, Professor, I got to ask the question again, as I always come to you. The damn HBCUs. Okay, we've already seen the game change. What the ham sandwich, in your opinion, these guys need to do, not necessarily to get big money, but to just, you know, just revamp themselves. They got to reinvent themselves to do something. Because this is getting crazy.
That's true. They need to reinvent themselves. And since you're such a fan of his, because of the team you used to support, and he played.
I don't support him.
Anyway, I take your word for that.
That's that Winston-Salem Ram in you.
We're not necessarily being helped by one of your favorite former players, because he's becoming much more of an asshole than I thought he was.
Deion walking out the press conference? You talking about that?
I'm talking about Deion Warwick and Deion.
What did he say? If Nick Satan is called Coach Satan, you need to call me Coach Sanders. You don't know me like that.
Well, you know, just a little, you know, guys.
Hey, wait,
just a little. Can I just add a little background to that? Apparently, the paper that this guy was from, the Jackson, you know, the, I guess it's the Jackson Clarion Ledger or whatever. They're like the home paper for Jackson State and Ole Miss and the others. And okay. Apparently there is
a
white
boy.
Yes, he's white.
But
let's put it in clear context. He walked away from this guy. He did all his other, because see, the perception is that he did not talk to the media. He did talk to the media. He walked away from this Fruit Loop.
HBCU's the ones that said that he walked out of the press conference. That was
well,
the headline.
Again, they got it wrong. And see, all you had to do was just if you have.
I agree with Deion. Say, look, my name is Coach or Coach Sanders. Yeah, call me Coach or Coach Sanders. If that message hasn't gotten through already, then you ain't got no business being at the press conference. Shut the fuck up, walk away.
And the guy, and basically the guy just still did it, and then he walked. He walked off. I mean, a lot of it was much to do about nothing for both sides to a certain extent. But I get why. But see, again, there's a hissy. Whenever stuff like this happens, I'm always like, okay, cause and effect. Something's going on. Something else had to be going on here. I checked that with the newspaper, because I have a friend of mine that actually works down there. And apparently the guy who was doing that, I'm not gonna give his name because, you know, it's whatever. But apparently this guy also covers Ole Miss as well, and he's had a little bit of a history of messing with other coaches as well, and apparently there was something going on during this past regular season as well between, I think it was more so the sports information folks at Jackson as opposed to Dion himself. But
right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's let's see again, the whole thing of let's just make it out like, oh, he just walked out of the whole. No, I saw that.
Right.
No, he did all of his stuff that he was supposed to do media wise because
here's my question.
Yes,
why didn't the school do a retraction and say that he did
obligation? See, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're sort of exasperated with this guy. But see, unlike a certain former head coach at the University of Florida, they did not try to ban the writer or the newspaper from there because it would have made even a bigger mess. Now again, no one's trying to condone however you feel about Dion or whatever, but it was the way it made it sound like that this just came out of nowhere. Nah, there's a history. There's a history there. So. And again, the fact that they made it out like that he didn't do, because what I did was I went to the SWAC. The SWAC has a YouTube page.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He did his,
and actually their media day was on ESPN3 yesterday. So what you got to do is go to their page. You see the interview. He's interviewing with, Stephanie and The brother from Howard who do the games for matter of fact it was him, his son, and the defensive player that they got from Tennessee that was at there, and they this particular interview was a Zoom interview as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't as cause see. There's still some restrictions in regards to this. Now again, I got no dog in this fight, but in the situation that in looking at the whole situation, and let's face it, you know the media is going to make sure they have the last word, whether the word's a lie or truth or what have you. But let's put it this way.
Let's just put it this way.
Let's just dispel this rumor. He did not walk out of Media Day. He walked away from this guy.
Yeah.
He walked away from this guy.
Right.
I fell for it. All I'm saying is we all get a little lazy at times. But see, especially with this, you've got to see, like I said, cause and effect. He ain't going to, however you may feel about him, good, bad, or indifferent, Dion ain't going to walk away from no camera. Let's be 1,000% for sure here. Dion ain't walking away from no camera, okay?
Dion and the camera, they sort of
want it both ways. They want to sort of put him in his place for being so gregarious, but then they want to go to the next extreme and say, oh, he walked away from me today. No, he didn't. He walked away from this twerp. So I just want to give it some clarity. That's all.
Okay, I understand that. But throughout this whole scenario, we've had Dion overreacting because some things don't go his way, and or some things he's not used to how they go. And,
that's true.
Call me Mr. This or whatever. Can you, you've been around John Dale. John Dale is part of the Ramilly pool, as far as we're concerned. When he talks to coaches, he may use first names or nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand Dion's problem, so to speak. But sometimes what is a problem ain't really no problem. It's just
Well,
and see, when you, and see,
I, you know what, Fred, I agree with you. I agree with you. But see, here's the other thing. This guy clearly was trying to went out of his way to get under Deion's skin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's wrong. And you know that's wrong. That's just wrong.
A reporter tried to get an athlete's skin and a coach.
For every John Dell, there's a Jason Whitlock. For every Bob Lee, there's a Stephen A. Smith. And again, it's a fine line. I definitely think he overreacted. But I think also because this guy was trying to make a name or whatever he was trying to do. And again, you have to play into the most recent past history. All I'm trying to say is that this didn't just come out of thin air.
Yeah,
exactly.
This didn't just come out of thin air. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
My next question would be then, if that is the case, why haven't the, not only the sports information people, but why haven't the university taken a stand?
I can't answer. Now, I'm going to go on the premise
at that level, coming down from AD and or from the vice chancellor, vice president, whatever they have down there, even so far as going to the president, chancellor himself. Those kind of things can be fixed with a phone call from the top, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is where the SID department or the athletic department or the school. Now, again, this ain't the first incident. One would think that people would have said, hey, Deion, you know, slow your roll. But also, because they've had this little bit of history, and see, I'm willing to bet that this isn't the first incident with this particular newspaper.
Yes.
Can I
ask a question? Do you think they go to old adage, good publicity is just as good as bad publicity?
No.
I don't think in this case. Not in this case, because this was a matter of correctness and respect. You know, we can say whatever we want about Deion Sanders, the player, but if he has assumed the mantle of coach, he deserves to be referred to as coach or Coach Sanders. That I agree with. That goes across the board.
And
if they know in the beginning of the press conference that he needs to be addressed as coach or Coach Sanders, then anybody who's going to do that is trying to poke the bear for real, and they should get bit in the ass because of that.
And see, the other question is, if Deion is such a, you know, whatever, how come he didn't have a problem with some of the other media that day? I mean, it was only this paper.
That guy. Yeah, you got to be consistent.
It's only this guy. And again, cause and effect. Because of the recent past history, you've got to, you know, nothing like this happens in a vacuum. Now, I would hope at some point that something goes on because, look, that's probably the only paper that covers them. And that's why I think that there's been a thin line. Because, see, I think in their mind's eyes, well, they are the hometown paper. And I think in their mind's eyes, they don't want to cause a wave. But I think at some point, there's got to be some boundaries. Because if this,
From what I've been told,
it's the paper, and see, this guy, apparently the whole thing with him is that, you know, he covers basically, he's a college football writer for them. He covers the SEC, and he covers Jackson State. The person that I, the source that I talked with there was basically saying, in many ways, when he goes to cover Jackson State, he takes the attitude of, like, it's beneath him. You know, I cover the SEC.
Yeah,
why am
I
here? Why am I covering Jackson State? Why am I covering Jackson State? And see, if this guy has a – kick him off the beat. You know, take him off the beat.
The quote, the professor, he gave a Stuart Scott impression when it came to covering HBCUs. Am I right, Professor?
It's more so. Remember when we had Debbie Stroman from UNC on a few years back? And she talked about how Jay Billis was basically whining and moaning about covering women's basketball.
Until he finally got
a chance to do it. Again, from what I've been told by guys that I know and trust who's in that situation, this guy basically he feels as though because he covers the lordly SEC that he's basically slumming covering Jackson State.
Yeah.
And see, Fred, we both know John. John is one of the best reporters in the country, not just Carolina. He's one of the best reporters in the country, and Winston is blessed to have a guy like him of great integrity and all the other stuff to cover them, because John covers the, I worked with John at the Journal. I've worked directly with him. John does one hell of a job. John does one hell of a job as a journalist. Unfortunately, you got other folks in this field that they may quote unquote cover, but their intentions are very, very clear. They half-ass it, and they're not there for the good of the assignment. And I would think that there's probably someone else on the Jackson Clarion Ledger. That would appreciate covering Jackson State sports, because apparently this guy does not.
If this has gone on since this guy's been there, and I think they said he's been there a couple of years. Remember he was there during the pandemic when there was almost nothing to cover.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, why is he still there?
That's the million-dollar question right there.
He must be well-placed, as in got an uncle that is one of the publishers and got somebody else on the board and all these other kind of influential on his side, because in today's environment, the Federal Observer just had like Sammy Batten and a couple of others who've been there for years. Because Sammy came on board like in early 90s, and he just retired at the end of last calendar year. And, he has 30 years of off and on covering Fayetteville State. He knows Fayetteville State history better than some of their people do. So, because of familiarity, you pick up certain things.
Exactly.
And, where a few skeletons are laid and all this kind of stuff. Because I remember one guy that used to work there, he was surprised. I was surprised that he knew that this player back in like 98, 99 somewhere, where they actually registered him late with the chancellor's approval. And at the time, the coach really didn't want him. But, because the strings were pulled, he took him once he was eligible and so forth, but he didn't do anything to help him. And he knew about all of that. And I said, you don't report – a good reporter don't report those things that are not necessary. And this was done for the good of the kid. And, and to his credit, it humbled the young man to know that he got his nuts caught in the door. and somebody got him out for him.
Mm-hmm.
But see, like I said, but you know, I still think there's a way, there's a better way to handle it, to
oh,
have handled it than the way it has been handled. And I don't, you know, I know that Dion knows the ropes when it comes to media and all this kind of stuff better than the average SID office person. But you know, he has to stop reacting to everything like it's something directed at him, even if you know it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this guy can get under his skin now, before the other teams start kicking his ass, what's going to be like in about, 8-10 weeks? Well, Alcorn is going to be at the end of the year, but he's going to run into at least two or three of these guys that were there in the suits today. They ain't going to be like Coach Rob wearing no suit on the sideline. These guys are going to be in combat gear.
Oh, sure. And see,
he's going to learn real quick.
And he's
going to
learn
it's not even going to be Connell. You got to remember, they begin the season against FAMU.
Florida A&M. And they have already said, and the last couple of times I heard this, they weren't laughing and joking. We going to teach you all how a band should march. So
what?
You know?
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of. It's actually. But you know, this is nothing new with FAMU. FAMU's got a history of doing that. That's really nothing new.
I got one question to ask T. Would the students be marching the band, or would they do like they did before and bring people that don't even go to school in the band?
I'm not sure. Cause see, it's apparently, I think it's at FAMU too.
They have about 10 busload of street
it's
people.
It's in Tampa.
No. I think it's in Florida. I think it's in Tampa.
Oh, it's a neutral. So technically, well, it's basically a home game. I mean, I know
it's
it might be. It's basically
Florida,
a home game for Florida because let's put it this way: there may be a few people. There may be some Jackson State alumni in Florida.
They had agreed. There's an agreement, because, especially with the conference play now. There's
mm-hmm.
a certain number of seats that they have to set aside
sure.
for visiting teams or
sure.
make available for visiting teams. But
sure.
see, back to Reggie's question, have you heard this coach they have at FAMU now? He came
yeah,
from the SWAC.
Yeah, remember he was Prairie View's offensive coordinator.
He came from Prairie View. He had just gotten them kind of on the road, right road, and FAMU came knocking and basically took him away. So, you know, in essence, with the move, they have created another enemy called Prairie View A&M,
which is an old rival. I love it.
Back in the day when Billy Nix was the head coach, he was invited to the Orange Blossom, I think, two or three times, and this was in the late 50s, early 60s, when he had guys like Otis Taylor and guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
There should be in the Football Hall of Fame.
It's safe to say, all SWAC coaches don't agree on many things. But apparently the one thing they all do agree upon
they
want to
whip Coach Sanders' ass.
They don't want to beat Jackson State. They want to beat – now, should I say Coach Prime or should I say Deion here? I want to make sure I don't want to say Coach Prime. Yeah.
That's what they want to say. No doubt. As these numbers fall into place, we got to remember, all right, so now Alabama's quarterback is already making $1 million before he's even picked up a football.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So if we confront Auburn, they're not going to be asking where the money came from this time when their quarterback steps up. Mississippi State, we already know Lane Kiffin, he's a shaky asshole. So
how dare you? How dare you slander the Eddie Haskell of college football? How dare you?
Exactly. So we look at
I'm so jealous.
A quarterback will be worth roughly $1 million. A good running back, maybe $500,000 to $800,000. A lineman, if he's a third lineman, might get around that much.
Hey, Mike, is there a salary cap? Is there a salary cap?
Exactly.
Whether you want to eat two meals or one, there's your salary cap right there.
Exactly. There's your salary cap. Reggie's not half wrong. Reggie's not wrong. The big schools are going
to
look at this like that. The people who are responsible for them conforming, they're going to be the capologists. They're going to tell them how much money it is. I mean, Texas already said in so many states, in so many places, that they're willing to pay. Texas doesn't give a fuck. They're going to get there.
Mm.
I mean, from the time their kids are toddlers, they got helmets on their asses. So we know there's some serious money in offense.
That's a hell of a vision to look at, seeing a kid with a helmet on his ass.
Exactly.
But, you know.
I thought it was me, G. I kept saying, wow.
I mean, I know you're not supposed to shit where you eat, but my goodness.
Well, I'm telling you, there are a bunch of 3-year-old babies down there in Bickar County, Texas, who whipping
ass. Oh, absolutely.
They call
there's a bunch of them still in the. They're already on the three. They're only in the 3-point stance.
That's
oh,
right. They call them the diaper.
You know, y'all just wrong. That's just wrong.
You know, but the thing that I'm thinking of, Mike. Remember in the Watergate Nixon's tapes when John Dean basically said it's probably going to cost us about $1 million to keep these guys quiet, and Nixon of course says we can get $1 million, John, we can get $1 million.
Exactly.
So
fuck you.
So basically,
when it comes to football. That's how it is.
Exactly.
Don't matter.
Exactly.
What is your budget? Whatever you want or whatever you need. Or
Exactly. Just keep it cranked.
The only difference now is everything is above board now.
Yes.
Everything is above board now.
The question is, if you're not 85% vaccinated, here's my question. I go back to these governors in these southern states that are pushing against the vaccine. How in the hamster? Who gonna have the biggest dicks? The NCAA or the states?
Well, remember, you have to remember the NCAA.
They're gonna take their dick out and slap it aside DeSantis's head.
Yeah, and you have to remember now the NCAA now is basically the town eunuch now. So
that's
I think that answers. Yeah. So. I think it's going to be these guys. But see, here's the thing. All it takes is a couple of bad losses when you only got X amount of players that you can play with, and then all of a sudden, maybe we need to get vaccinated. Because look, if folks still want to play the vaccination game, I get it to a certain extent. But see, when it starts messing with your money, here's the thing, the very same folks who fought Obamacare made sure they got that federal money though.
If Obama was smart,
he would have said, "Oh, y'all don't want the health care? Okay, we're not gonna give you this, the federal benefit too."
That's right. Exactly.
Well, gentlemen, something you all are dancing around here that need to be addressed and all this stuff? Because, okay, the SEC consists of about eight or nine states.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you got two of those states, or three of those states that are contiguous from just below where I live all the way to the state of Florida, right?
Right.
You got North Carolina, you got South Carolina, you got Georgia, and you got Florida.
Georgia and Alabama as well.
Okay, oh, no. Just these three states. Then you go across. You pick up Georgia. You got Georgia. Extends over to what? Alabama.
Yep.
Up to Tennessee.
And Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Arkansas is over that way. Louisiana. And then Texas.
It's all in the same neighborhood, though. Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. Basically, in terms of football conferences,
here's my point. Now, they all play football the same, but they don't regulate the shots and stuff the same. And some of these instances, and I think Florida is one of them. It is illegal to ask a person if they have been vaccinated in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it's two
that's
other states,
true, because they're nut jobs down there.
States,
yes, that's true.
Two other states, and I think Texas is one. You cannot ask a person who's applying for a job, whatever it is you're trying to regulate, you cannot ask them if they have been vaccinated or not.
We would think it would be in their own best interest to make sure they are vaccinated because it's the price of doing business.
You have to ask before you leave.
Yeah.
But you can't ask. But see, if you're playing University of Florida, University of Florida against South Carolina or Georgia, South Carolina and Georia, you know, those are big annual games.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the surge that's going to come out of that?
Oh, God.
Remember, LSU was one of the ones that was so bad last year, and they're still out there shooting themselves in the foot. Talking about, you know, they got
You're right. They
and
have a game
when you get all these people together, where they tell you they got right. So, and they tell you, like this one guy was on TV talking about how he wasn't gonna take the shot. They had him on TV today. With two coming out his nose. And I remember him saying, and that is a hard no. That was about 3 weeks ago.
Didn't the Jets say some shit about that too? About
there's a bunch of prominent NFL players that are Bastionites, I guess I call them.
Patrick's in the mix. Patrick, can you hear us?
Live and living color, folks. What's up?
How are you?
Cleveland, you going to sign your quarterback for a long-term deal there, young man?
He better play. Just play the next game. That's all.
I heard that.
I had to get Patrick that shot in.
Patrick, we were talking about the possible additions of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC.
I know.
Now, we know games are of high pressure enough, but I think this season, beyond all others, any team that loses two games has lost tens of millions of dollars. Is that a fair assessment?
Your mathematics is very good.
Oh, it took you, man.
Yeah, it's very good. That's the way it is. In regards to that, and how the conference, and that shows you how strong the conferences have to be in order to qualify for the 12 game series, of the 12 team playoffs.
Patrick, where does Notre Dame fit in all this, Patrick?
Notre Dame will make a choice real soon. The pressure's on them right now.
They got to join a conference now, huh?
They should have joined the Big Ten 20 years ago when we opened up to do it. But, you know, that personalized contract they have for football leaves a lot for them to deal with.
Yeah, they'll basically take a pay cut. They'll take a pay cut if they go to the Big 12. That's basically.
Yeah, the Notre Dame TV network ain't gonna like that.
And let me quote the exact. A quote from someone I know who's a Notre Dame alumni about that contract.
Uh-huh.
They said even if the Pope says to get rid of it, he can go to hell too.
Oh my!
Oh my! He's getting serious now. How dare them?
Boy.
How dare them? Pope? How dare them?
They're gonna tell the Pope. They're gonna tell the Pope to kiss the fattest part of their ass.
They don't care. They wouldn't care.
Hey, I hope the Pope.
There's going to be more money. There's going to be more money bet on college football this season than in the past decade. Because there's too much at stake.
Underground money.
And some of the bets going to be, is this game going to be played?
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
it's going to be really ridiculous at certain points because, if I thought Reggie was going to go out for a pass or was my primary receiver, and I know he's going to do those dink and dunk passes to him, what's to prevent me from sort of floating this idea of, he tested positive last night, but we're keeping it quiet.
And don't think it ain't going on either.
We'll have my name attached to that. Unreal.
you cannot legally ask him, ask him, he does not have to answer or give you an accurate answer as to whether or not he tested positive or not. You cannot test him.
It's going to be a whole lot of breakdown.
The legal logistics behind all this is crazy already, and it's crazy without even any movement. Because I'm wondering how they made it, preseason conference today in the ACC, and we're talking about all the way from Boston, all the way to Miami, and all in between. Every other state is stupider than the one next to you.
Mike, one of the things that you mentioned that, I talked to you exactly about, Texas and Oklahoma. They said they were considering it. And if they're considering it, that means the contract's already signed.
Really.
That's important. That's important because they're mainstays. They were mainstays of their conference. And Texas had its own site. They had their own network. So you're talking about taking a network and moving it.
Texas has the most money of any athletic program in the country. Texas has the number two network for television, regional viewing. Your Big Ten has the biggest one because the Big Ten covers 27 states. Now, that's part of the reasons why they're doing this, to get that market value to add to the SEC. And believe me, by bringing Texas on, Lord, have mercy. It's all about one thing. It ain't about the students and the quality of life of the university.
Oh, please.
Best quote by the song that my father was mentioning. But he would listen to this one when the OJ sang, money, 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 money.
That's
all it's about.
And OJ is also going to say about backstabbers, too. The smile on your face, the backstabbers.
Come on.
There's going to be a whole lot of that. It's coming.
I could do a family reunion thing with this too, but I'm just going to leave that alone. I'm just going to leave that alone.
Gentlemen,
I'm so jealous of you guys. Damn, I'm so jealous.
Come on, talk it up. Now, let's get into it. Come on, kid. Let's get the old rickety whack. Brick a brack a firecracker. Boom, bah. Bucks Bunny, rah, rah. Bring a bracket, firecracker, this boom, bah! Bucks Bunny, rah, rah, rah! Bring a bracket, firecracker, this boom, bah! Bucks Bunny, rah, rah, rah! Bring a bracket, firecracker, this boom, bah! Bucks Bunny, rah, rah, rah!
And Mike, just to add to that, apparently ESPN is going to be adding a new channel. The Cottontail Smith Network will be starting in September.
I don't know why he do that, because he hates rabbits.
The only thing he hates more than one rabbit?
It's two rabbits.
Oh, no. That is too funny.
One of the things I'm
so jealous of you guys.
I was trying to find out how they're going to do. But listen, what do you do? Think about it.
Patrick, think about all of the years of great players who've been screwed by the NCAA for the slightest of infraction. You know, this is like marijuana being legal, but yet you did time because you had a dime bag when you were a teenager. This is the ultimate in hypocrisy. Oh, they realized there was no way they were going to keep their system status quo. So now, we'll go along with things because
you ain't got no choice.
A handful of guys might get money. They might get X money, but the NCAA will get XXX money from everything that comes out of this.
No, Mike, I think you got a little bit backwards. Let me put it this way.
Players
are going to get money. That's what they're really scared of.
Because these are personal contracts.
And various contracts. Like I told you, kid from Alabama, Bryce Young, already got $1 million contract, and he ain't played a dime yet. Okay?
Patrick, is that going to be a four-year deal or year-to-year?
Year-to-year.
Oh,
he has the potential to leave with $4 million in the bank before he gets drafted. If he gets drafted,
so he would take a pay cut by going to the NFL.
That's not a joke. Given his rookie contract potential, he would get less money. That's right.
Here's what's going to happen. One thing that we have to watch now even more. Like, for instance, I'll give it a perfect example. Ohio State just recruited two of the top five players in next year's junior class. This kid named JT, I can't even pronounce his last name. He's Samoan. He's 6'6", 275, plays basketball and football.
Patrick, just call him two a junior. We'll know what you're talking about.
Put his ass anywhere he wants to play.
He's gonna play defensive end. Here's the trick. Wait, they got a kid from Clemson that's already a junior. That's a defensive end, 6'6", 270.
Couldn't keep him? I can't believe that.
No, Jimbo.
You mean even with that good Christian fellowship down there in North Carolina?
Fuck Dildo, I mean Dabo.
He's from Maryland, right? That's a trick. You mentioned about how money's being made. I guarantee you, one of the top recruits, and the third one is the quarterback we got, Ohio State quarterback, got a kid from Texas. Here's going to be the trick. One of these guys, I know it's going to be a fight. I can't wait to see it's going to be ugly. Which one of these three guys gets approached by a betting line or a fan or DraftKings?
It's not going to be
something that they're going to advertise, but here's a perfect case. Now they have, all you got to do is just, we're going to have the guy that's talked 45 seconds after the game, that's called a sponsorship. You think DraftKings won't do that?
Allegedly, that's why the ACC has this group that's going to provide guidance to the young men so that they don't make any errors in the way so they end up being ineligible.
I sure hope these other conferences do the same thing, but I have a sneaking suspicion that
Oh, God.
There's about 33 schools for that, in that group we talked about.
How's basketball going to work this out? Because less players than basketball.
Basketball and track. That's covering, that helps guide these individuals on what they're being offered.
Right. Hey, Patrick, real quick about the Olympics. What have you heard? Because I can believe the Polish team, I know it sounds like a joke, they had 23 swimmers and had to send six of them back because you only had 17. I'm like, how in the hell did they not count?
I'm going to tell you something now.
I know it sounds like a joke.
That brother from Japan, when he said, please go up, we're going to close this thing down, but don't be surprised. He is serious as Japanese eat rice. I'm telling you.
Oh, shit.
Well, they basically got until I've forgotten the time frame now because of that 15-hour difference. They basically have got it's a countdown. It's a countdown.
Mm-hmm.
And how many now, Gary? How many? 85. You said athletes have been tested positive now.
87. This shit ain't started yet.
87 positive already. Yeah. Mixing up here.
Yeah. Well, technically the Olympics have started because soccer has already started, softball has started, baseball, and basketball.
That has nothing to do with COVID. United States team sucks, and the basketball team sucks, as well as the
really
soccer team.
This could be
the worst team ever.
The worst Olympic team ever.
And the women's soccer team got their ass spanked 3-0 already.
I'll put my money any day on the women's on the U.S. women's team. They'll take care of business. That's up for debate.
Three-nothing.
Say, Mike, I will say this. In the past, what the Olympic committee has done in the distribution of health items, they usually distribute all condoms before the Olympics. They are now distributing them after the Olympics.
Oh, my.
Boy,
that sort of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So
they won't be doing too much of that anyway because they're all be isolated anyway.
You
would think they would be offering the men's team free pussy so they could drain their energy. They wouldn't perform as well.
Now, Dr. Evil, there you go again, Mike. You just couldn't help yourself, could you? You just couldn't help yourself.
Yeah. Well, put it this way, Mike.
I'm so jealous.
Put it this way. Much like the DraftKings commercials, making it rain is going to sound a little differently down there in Tokyo.
Hey,
Patrick, now all them 65,000 out there at the Milwaukee got the NBA championship. I wonder how that's going to affect the numbers up there in COVID. Because are they going to report their true numbers, or are we going to get things dumbed down again?
Well, this morning, it was 11 this morning.
And remember, they're still going to have a parade now.
Yeah.
Oh,
how about
shit.
Well, you know what? This question needs to be answered. What were the odds on the Milwaukee Bucks winning the championship at the beginning of the season? They had to be at least 25-1.
I got my ticket. Somebody got paid.
Maybe more like 15 because, you remember, they were coming off of, 2 years ago they had the best record. Last year they got knocked out in the first round.
Last year, Vinny Dunn, he was in the playoffs, very eerie. All of a sudden, go over to the playoffs. Nobody on that. Nobody.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Hey, but the question is, Chris Paul, where is he going to play next with the Lakers?
He's already said he's coming back. Yeah, he's already said he's coming back.
He's already said he's coming back.
That's all I'm saying.
Say LeBron got like a phone call to him, yeah.
Let me throw this in for Fred.
I can't wait to hear this.
Did you guys watch the SWAC press conference?
Go ahead and throw your spin on it. We just did about an hour
in regards to all of that.
Did you do the guy who approached Dion?
Apparently this guy and the paper there have had some crosswords over the last few. Apparently this guy has, he's not too crazy. Please wait. He's not too crazy about covering Jackson State because he also covers the SEC. And at the end of the day, it was a catfight between two men. That's the sad part of it.
Mm-hmm. Meow.
Yeah,
really. So one of them had to be the bitch. Yes.
Yeah.
Dion did say something that we've been saying for over a year now.
Uh-oh.
And he approached it on ESPN. He said, they asked him, basically how the aspect of the league will change and should change. He said, well, the problem with the league, Dion came on and said, the problem, you ain't got no exposure. He said, and he was right. He said, now look, only two teams covered this league is News One and BET, and they ain't doing a good enough job.
Basically, he said, there's 12 teams now in the. There's 12 teams now in the SWAC, and basically for media day, they bring two players. They usually bring one offensive player, one defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
And in his mind's eyes, he was saying, "Well, in a sense, that should be 24 draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't these guys getting picked and all this other stuff?" And he's basically been saying what we've all been heralding, been talking about over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing where I think he misses it. BET didn't cover the SWAC. Once they got rid of the TV package, they were done.
That was it.
And let's face it, TV One. Unless it's going to get more ratings than old episodes of Sanford and Son and Martin, they want no part of it.
Kathleen ain't doing that.
That's on us, not on other folks. That's on us. For not covering them. Because let's be honest. The white media is not going to cover you. They're not, you shouldn't be sitting around.
That's right.
And you shouldn't be sitting around waiting for them. Now ESPN will throw you a bone. Now, apparently, there's 21 scheduled games this year for the SWAC on there, and this is including the SWAC, the MEAC SWAC Challenge, the championship, the SWAC Championship game, and the Celebration Bowl.
They're going to do a game day from one of the black schools.
They doubled the games that they were going to do that are on the quote unquote networks, mm-hmm. and that's all well and good. Now, also, not to do too much to the side there. I don't know if you guys know that. I'm sure Fred and Reggie know. Dennis Thomas, the commissioner of the MEAC, has announced his resignation.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. You said what now?
Dennis Thomas resigned
at the end of the year.
He's going to finish out this.
Media Day is in Norfolk on July the 30th. Next Friday.
And I'm sure.
I heard that before.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't want to see you up there messing with the new media person at the MEAC.
Reggie does his stalking in the state of Virginia. He doesn't usually spread his stalking outside of Virginia.
No,
he's
from Norfolk.
She's in Norfolk.
She's in Norfolk. Reg, yeah. You better behave. Well, Reg, you better behave yourself because my phone doesn't work during the day.
I'll behave.
I found it very interesting that that was sort of played down. And again, not to kick a man when he's down, but you got to figure that a lot of this has to. No, seriously. You got to figure the whole thing of how this whole thing with basically the whole with half of the conference leaving probably played a lot into it because I'm sure he's probably had to go through a lot mentally in doing it. The timing is not the greatest in the world too. And I'd be interested to hear what he says for Media Day next week because I mean it's out there. It's out there. Even though he's going to finish out the year, but you got to know that with all these schools leaving, probably played a factor into this. Unfortunately,
I agree. I was wondering who was up in his seat to take the job. That's what I'm wondering.
I mean, the young lady that's his right hand person, she can probably do it because she's probably the one that's doing most of the job now anyway.
Yeah,
but just for some informational purposes, you know, when you look back at the history of the MEAC, it's far more resilient than the average person would know because they were on their way to collapsing back in 1979 and 80, and Ken Free was able to get FAMU and Bethune-Cookman to come in as a couple, so to speak. And there are several schools in the MEAC over the years that are solid through and through. But right now you got say South Carolina State is struggling financially because you know they've lost over 2,500 students in as far as enrollment go. And then you got some schools like Coppin and Eastern Shore, they got money but they cheap. They don't. I mean,
and they don't play football. There you go. And see that's the elephant in the room because football. Yeah. And see the small difference of the problems that they had back in '81. See, they lost two of their. I mean, they basically lost two of their flagships. And
over 2 years. They lost Central.
Back then they lost Central. They lost Morgan and one other, all in one swoop. And this was before schools like Coppin had joined.
Mm-hmm.
So this was all CIAA family back then.
Sure.
And they would have been down to five. I think they would have been down to five schools.
Wow.
Had they not bought in FAMU and see they had to qualify. Free spent a lot of time, you know, some of his own money being, you know, going back and forth between the two schools to get them qualified, you know, paperwork wise and get everything lined up to get them joined. So, you know, he carried them and kept them on up and up. Dr. Thomas was brought in by one of Reggie's favorite people, and in the process,
but it was
a solid process because you had Hampton come in. Hampton had money. Norfolk came in.
Yeah,
Norfolk, and see, you had two schools with great followings. A&T was always a solid area. I still think Even their fan base is trying to figure out what the heck was Dr. Martin thinking with, and he says it's academic, which it may well be, but at the same time, you know, again, you don't see Notre Dame complain about how far they have to travel,
and neither did anybody else. You picked them.
No.
With all due respect, got the money to
sure
do that.
But see,
Notre Dame TV Network.
Yeah, but see, my point is this. When you look at this from a business perspective, you have to factor in what is the cost, what is the true and real cost to be the boss and to play at that level. If you're not going to pay your dues, and I hear about different schools only having X number of scholarships, and they have, you got 15 for basketball, but you only have 12. You only funding 10 to 12. Okay, you ain't ready to play.
And yeah,
that's right. That's what I meant about the compliance officer also being the capologist. If you're looking at it from that level, and you got 10 or 12 contracts that you can give out where there's going to be financial benefit, you have to decide which are going to be the dirty dozen that's going to get the job done. And a lot of other schools are going to have to think like that.
I think the perception for a lot of folks is, well, when they go from a different conference, they'll be able to make the transition. But see, the thing is, the conference is telling you, you have to have X amount of sports.
Amen.
And you have to have X amount ask FAMU about what they had to go through when they were an independent.
My question is going to bring the hammer down when it comes to probation? I mean, hell, one time, fam, you was on probation in five different sports.
I always felt like they made it personal, especially with the black schools, especially it the last 2-3 years. They have finally started to come back from all of that
referring to that fiasco when they call themselves going Division One?
Yeah. That was Esther having Shabba Ranks' babies ugly for them. It was not good.
Yeah, really.
Okay. The first problem they had, they tried to do it all by themselves. Follow the yellow brick road. Each time they've made a major move, except that one, Bethune-Cookman went with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this one guy said, I grew up in a house that was run by FAMU and also run by Bethune-Cookman. And that's how Florida is, where HBCUs are concerned. All those other schools really don't count, whether it's Memorial or Edward Waters. They don't really count.
I agree with that.
Bethune-Cookman is in the process of actually growing to going towards 6,000 students. So, which they don't have yet, but they have wherewithal. The point I was trying to make before was this: the biggest thing our school's got to learn how to do is to raise money.
Money.
I mean, you talk to them; they'll talk about the divorcee gave all that money to those schools. Okay, all well and good, but they did not go out and raise that money. Part of raising money, I'm working on a project now with a school that's on blowing bubbles, and bubbles are getting smaller. And the problem is, they not only you're going to get so much money to come to you, but you make money come to you. You got to go get money to make
money.
Exactly.
You're right about that.
Every major school, and particularly in white school, I know, got a department just for that purpose.
Exactly. Down here where I'm at, where it's Yale country, it's just like every other month, some dead relative seven-time
yes,
over from a former, you know, just dropped 7.5 or 5.6 or whatever, just for, you know, just on that. And see, now my man, now the millionaire that dropped all that money on, I guess, what was it, Morehouse or whatever, that's all cool and it's great. But that's just one guy.
That's it.
Yeah. That's just one guy. That's just one school.
Exactly.
And that's only one class that he did that to. You know, because I mean, remember a few years ago, you had a situation where some school in New York, some medical school in New York, this guy basically was speaking almost the same way.
I think it was Fordham. I think it was Fordham. I want to say it was Fordham.
Yeah. I mean, it was big time medical school. And the guy comes, he was like, oh, and by the way, don't worry about your loans. You know, I got you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's money coming to you. But, you know, the question that's not broached there is this. How much money at Fordham or whatever the name of that school was, how much are they going out and raise? Money has its own magnetism. It will come to you when you bring it to you.
Fordham is not an Ivy League school per se. It's located, the main campus is in the Bronx, and there's a campus in Manhattan. But what they are,
they have a well-established alumni. They have a
that's
attached to who? The Catholic Church. So,
think about what happened a few years ago when Delaware State was paid $500,000 to be somebody's ass whooped for the day. The price will now be $1 million for Delaware State to go get their ass whipped. Because
And guess what? None of the people that's gonna beat their ass will blink at the price.
No.
Because
not at all.
Okay, first of all, they're gonna pick up $1 million+ on the TV for the game being on TV.
Yeah.
Then the selling point to Delaware or whoever their sucker is for that particular game is, oh, by the way, you know you're gonna be on television. We're at least gonna do a regional feed. With that in mind, hey, you get a double whammy, an ass whooping and a public ass whooping.
I think about four or five black schools playing some major D1 schools. Haven't played them years, but they're playing them this year. I get my notes, I ain't got them in front of me. But they're playing some this year for that very purpose. Because there were some schools that have taken HBCU schools off their schedule because it affects their bowl qualifications.
But
they're bringing some back because guys need to make some money.
Especially if they think this one of the school that might slip up and beat their ass.
Yeah,
that's right.
They will make them disappear from the. I mean, you know, a few years ago, Howard got paid.
Howard
to come back to
Vegas.
They were paying to stay home.
We took
that accidental ass whooping. We ain't taking two. Take this check.
That's right.
Go home and enjoy. And by the way, take this one for next year because you ain't coming back out here.
When Appalachian State beat Michigan. They paid for it 2 years hence because y'all wasn't supposed to do this. So now teams that were thinking about giving them checks were like, nah, fuck that. You ain't trying to win my ass.
They could have beat Rutgers that day. That was about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Speaking about Rutgers, regarding to the players and the student athletes being compensated, and I got your praise to a young man named Jill Baker, who's on the basketball team, because that young man emerged as one of the forefront in speaking out about student athletes being compensated. He's coming back to play basketball. But the trick is,
for him.
His
Here's a unique thing that's happened in Jersey relative to Rutgers. Now, Rutgers, of course, is a state university and has a lot of cachet in this part of the tri-state area.
That's true.
But this is football. But here's the trick. We're in New York market where there's so many things that can be attached to a play to compensate for.
Yep.
But here's the trick. Now, Rutgers is going to have a pretty good team. They'll be competitive here. They'll be more competitive next year because they have a top 11 now, recruiting class. But you said yourself, well, that all the things that we said that attach the players that they can be compensated for. But look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough between Rutgers, New York, and Philadelphia. You know why?
Yeah.
Because they got 16 pro teams. Now, if you got a pro team and you have and you're a marketer and you want to line yourself with something, who are you going to go first? Yankees?
How about
Mets,
that? That's right.
Or the Phillies or go to Rutgers? That's
mm-hmm.
going to be a problem that they're going to have to deal with. Now, even their prominent alumni said, wait a minute, I mean, I'm a Rutgers grad, but if I can get a piece of Yankees to advertise my piece, I'll live in school, but I'm going to
mm-hmm.
Yankees. So they're going to be in a conundrum, a particular conundrum, because they got to fight against pro teams, where other schools in some places like Alabama or Mississippi, where they are the pro team.
That's exactly right. They are de facto mm-hmm. pro team, given the area where they're at. Tennessee has had average records over the past 5 years, but there's 80,000 motherfuckers sitting in them checkerboard seats for every day.
100,000.
I stand corrected. But having said all of that, when you look at all of this, you got to remember, it's also a matter of location, because a couple of years when Temple had a decent football team, they couldn't really make no money because they're basically a commuter school.
Yep.
They were playing games in the stadium, but they couldn't travel. So they weren't getting any real bowl moves. So they're snaked by the very presence of what kind of team they are.
And of course, they had Coach State another year because the team wasn't that bad. That's like Temple playing Rutgers this year. So that's going to be important for them for recruiting because, like I told people before, I suppose when Sienna left, folks came in and were like vultures taking planes out of New Jersey. Well, in 1 year.
Now, the sheriff is back in town. The sheriff is back in town, and he's got his Buford Pusser bat with him, too.
And when he said the first time when he was here, when he struggled over 4 or 5 years to get recruits, he says, I'm going to build a wall around New Jersey because Penn State and Syracuse picked whoever they want in New Jersey. Well, he stopped that.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped
mm-hmm.
that again already. So, again, it would be an interesting factor of how they do it as opposed to some schools where, you know, football players itself for college, that's their pro team.
It's going to be interesting to see what transpires, but the first shots have already been fired regarding kids getting paid. With that, I'm going to get the final thoughts. Reggie, are you still there, or did he disappear into the ozone? I think he did. Patrick, let's start off with you.
By the way, Tony, I was thinking about you. I think I put them on Facebook about the Mets and the Yankees, and I mentioned how much you love the Yankees.
I'm not gonna say nothing because I don't want to get fined. I'll just leave that alone.
You're in first place. You get 7.5 out, and they talk about where's the team in the city. Not nightly, but that's been a story. But last night, they had some interesting all-female MLB broadcast, which was interesting. And I got part of it because I was watching the Dodgers beat the Giants last night. But I was happy. wait. Was that a cow that we had inside the... but the trick is, I was glad to see that, and they did a story on them this morning. What I hate is this: there was a bunch of a clown. He's talking about, you know, what is this, what with all this culture wars we got, what should be involved in the game. And I said, they got so many knucklehead geek, big ass stat going guys playing for nothing baseball. They need to have a different look to the game and bring people in to make it interesting. And all those young ladies were competent. They knew what they were talking about, and they made it quite interesting to look like I heard about it. So I like a big shout out to all those young ladies that went out and promoted themselves in the game. And lastly, by the way, Maria Taylor is going to NBC. She left ESPN. She'll make a little bit more money. She ain't going to make Stephen A. Smith money, but she's going to make more money, and she's going to be exposed for football and NBC.
Ah,
there you go.
Good for her. Good for her. Good for. Hey, who do you think they'll replace her? Hey, who do you think they'll replace her with? Wink, wink. Nudge,
how
nudge.
How about that? A woman named. I keep telling you, watch out for Malika Andrews.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we like
exactly.
Malika, but in this
Malika,
case,
oh,
NBC,
I love Malika.
In this case, yeah, NBC stands for a Negress being compensated. So we ain't mad at that. So yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Let's
and somebody but before we do that, Mike, somebody tell Gary about the stalking laws in California because of Mr. Malika.
You know what's gonna happen. She's gonna be walking down the street minding her own business, and somebody gonna roll up on her literally and snatch that ass up.
Oh God.
Go ahead, Professor.
Y'all know y'all ain't right.
I know.
Anyway, making great progress on the history of women's basketball. I finished putting pictures in the coaching, the female coaching portion of the book just a little just before I dialed in. And everything else is going pretty good, but on a sadder note, over the weekend, the Ramilly lost one of our former players, Donald Helton, who played. Don and I started school together, and about 2 months after we got into school, some of us started getting letters saying, "Greeton, come join the Army." Well, he turned out to be one of them, and he came back in the fall. He came back in the fall after senior year and played his final 2 years. And he was on Big House's last CIAA championship. But Don was a point guard. And we used to call him a pimp because we rarely saw Don wear eating out of a suit. And back then, he wore a suit with a vest. And I don't know where he got his clothes from, but almost every day you saw him, he had a great guy, great Ram, and you know, like I said, he was all conference his final 2 years. He played one of those years with a guy named Tom Paulins, which I mean, and it was a shame his only play with one ball, because between him and Rev, and Carlos Perry would be the guy everybody would remember from those two teams, because Carlos was a sophomore when he came back. But they were just, you know, they were the kind of guys that, you know, that your opponents hate, because it wasn't a matter of where they're gonna beat you, it was how bad,
how much they're gonna beat you by.
You're right. And the tallest guy they had on the team was 6'6", and that was the guy that played opposite Carlos, and that was Stinson Connolly. We had a guy on the team that was like 6'8", but he couldn't play the Badwater. I mean, great guy, but he couldn't play. But anyway, we will be posting information, continue to post information on HBCU people and throughout history and the Olympics. We're going to turn up the heat a little bit starting tomorrow. Matter of fact, I probably work on it before I go to sleep tonight. But we're keeping things on our two major Facebook pages. One, HBCU Heritage Center. The other is Black Heritage Review. And finally, I mentioned this earlier about the saving the history of high schools. You know, as we delve into this,
we got a lot of, you know, most of you all don't know anything about this, but we had all black high schools at once upon a time. And slowly but surely they're being closed down, or and more succinctly, their alumni are dying off because they, on average, these people are 65 or more years old that went actually attend the high school. And we're working on preserving the history of those schools. We had a meeting yesterday, and it was, and I actually went to the site last Thursday, and one of the things I suggested was, okay, we're going to push North and South Carolina, but wherever black schools were located, to include the state of Virginia, where there are still a few of those left, but most of them are gone.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to save our own history, because once it's gone, it's gone, and we got to teach this to our young people.
It's gone. It's gone.
That's www.blackheritagereview.com. Books, history, all good stuff. Check them out. Anytime's a good time for some black history. Big G, come on with it.
First of all, Blog Talk Radio, you did it again this weekend, cut people off. You need to stop doing that. Number two, Paralympics, yeah, at the end of August. Becca Myers is a six-time Paralympic medalist with three gold medals in 2016 Rio Games. Becca Myers will not be going to the Games of Tokyo. Why? Why? Because they have been in our virtual care assistant to go with her. Becca Myers is a blind and deaf. She needs a virtual care to get around. I hope she, shame on you. This girl should win at least three medals this year. It will happen. This has got to change.
All right, the Bacon Air Chalet. Oh, Lord. Have you seen her? No, I ain't seen her. Get the hell out of here. Yes, I know.
Mike.
Some brothers. Yes.
Mike, one more thing for Gary. Gary, what's the A's going to do? They sending signals out that they passed it. They passed the city to be built, but what are the A's going to do? What are they going to be?
Well, I really believe the A's are out here because they want the A's to pay the $54 million service charge. They get a
damn. Service charge. That's more like a dumb fucking
exactly.
Yeah. No. Damn, I'm from Greater New York. That service charge, that's a new one. I like that. Okay. We'll try that somewhere else. Tony?
Bright lights, it is up to set my soul. Just, I won't keep on doing that again. That's just me.
So what?
Congratulations to the Milwaukee Bucks for winning their first championship in 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people who still want to mess with Giannis need to leave him the hell alone. That was an all time performance. That was an all time performance last night, man. Putting 50 points up in a
game.
It's probably too early to talk about if they'll repeat or what have you.
They won't.
Now
it's
going to be tough. There's probably a better chance if you put a gun on my head. There's probably a better chance that Phoenix could possibly get back again than Milwaukee.
I agree.
Yeah, especially
because it's easier to go to the East.
And let's face it, the rest of the East is getting a little bit better. I mean, albeit they got eliminated, Philly is still going to be in the mix. Atlanta's going to be in the mix. I'm not going to pass judgment on the team on 5th and 33rd because I got to see who they're bringing back and who they're not bringing back. And you got to figure that the Brooklyn, Long Island, Flatbush, Great Neck, are going to be in
Las
the mix.
Las Vegas got number one already. Las Vegas got number one already.
Yeah. Well, put it this way. Everybody goes through adversity before you win a title. Remember, a couple years ago, the Bucks had the best record and got knocked out. And of course, last year in the at the bubble, they got knocked out in the first round. So
they got bubble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you go by how the NBA does, you do have to go through some pain before you can get through some pleasure. Good luck.
We got to give Team Dan the credit because they did go the way that you described. And one thing that was steady about the NBA that was always good, each team had someone that you could watch and you could say that guy has connected with the team. Team Banton managed to do it. The Greek Freak was a big part, but they did play hustle. They hustled and they played defense. They earned that chip. So congratulations to Giannis.
One other quick thing also.
Yes.
Now this was the first final since 1977 when every player on the team was playing in the finals for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, that 77 final, the home team won the first four games, and then the team that eventually won it won on the road in game five and then ended it in game six.
There you go. Patents for real. Well, gentlemen, I thank you as always for giving us some good food for thought as a additional artistic sidebar. As Gary has been talking about what the music box is going to be like with them Bacon and Shylights, it's going to be the girl groups up for our next contest. These are girl groups where we're spanning the decades. We're talking 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. So they're all going to go against each other in a quickie tournament. We'll see which girls come out on top. For my money, these are one of the heavy favorites that's going to be in the mix. We'll start next Tuesday, live after our Music Therapy Mindstream Sunday. The girl group tournament will begin. Everybody, kick back and relax. If you're at the bar or if you're at the soda shop, put that quarter in and play your three favorite songs for that quarter, and we'll walk out the door with this.